I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
All right. In attendance, Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
And Councilmember Winoski, sorry.
Here.
So I would accept a motion for the agenda review and approval.
I move that we accept the agenda as written.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We next have the consent agenda.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So it's time for public comments. Those wishing to get up and speak to council, please give your name and list your city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone wishing to address council? Kristen.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kristen Bryant. I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. And I want to comment to you about your agenda item on the comprehensive plan. In looking at this plan, I was looking at the natural environment section and the policy. I noticed the policy had changed. It's in section 4, natural environment. The one you have here in the packet tonight, I'm looking at it. It doesn't have a page number, but section 4.8, frequently flooded areas, goals and policies. And there was a policy, NE22, that was to use low impact development in the previous version of the plan. Now NE22 is different. And I can't tell if that low impact development policy has moved somewhere because I wasn't really aware that there were changes. I've been coming to most of the meetings where this plan's been discussed and I've submitted comments. And I was surprised to see a change there. And the question really is, I hope that you'll continue to support low impact development and the benefits it brings for the keeping the water clean and the environment. And I'm wondering if there were any other changes since the public hearing or since the Planning Commission's draft last fall, because I'm not sure I've been able to see them outlined anywhere. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We have no public hearings and no unfinished business. The first item on the agenda is an ordinance regarding the comprehensive plan update. Ms. Kincaid.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. You have an ordinance before you. It's 19-11-21. Within Agenda Bill AB 19022, it is to adopt the 2015 state mandated periodic comprehensive plan update. You know that we've been working on this actually since 2013, and it's been a long haul. What you have is basically a complete rewrite of the 2009 comprehensive plan. And I would like to say and actually comment to the citizen here that just spoke is we did make changes from the Planning Commission recommendation to the council draft some, but we discussed those. The LID policy, it shouldn't have gone away. So it's possible in the final formatting things happen, But what I would like to say is that this is in a format that is ready to adopt. But we will be doing our annual amendments religiously, because we kind of lapsed on doing that. And so it's important for this to be a dynamic document. I know that we tried to incorporate comments and input that we received. We didn't do all of it. Some of it really requires a little more thought and process, and we simply felt that we didn't have any more time, because we knew that the states, if we didn't get this adopted very soon, were threatening to disallow us from grants. Doesn't mean this is static, written in stone. Comprehensive plans are never intended to be that way. It's a dynamic document. It's adoptable format. It's pretty darn good. It's not perfect, and we will continue to work on that every year. So, I mean, I already kind of have a laundry list of things that we will be bringing you on a docket for this year. And I will look into that LID policy, because the city, we certainly support LID, the use of LID. And in fact, it's something that not only do we feel is important and we're committed to, but we also have, it plays into our public works ordinances and everything else. So, it was formatting, possibly formatting. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look, but if it's missing, if somehow when we were kind of trying to clean up all the stuff, it was highlighted and deleted, you'll see that on your docket. Do you have any questions for me?
Councilmember Edelman?
Well, I don't have a question. I've got a comment. Thank you. Mm-hmm. This has been a really long slog. We are 4 years late. I mean, this is 2015 to 2035. Mm-hmm. So I do want to thank you, because I know how much work and effort you and your staff have put into this document over the last while, many years, and the fact that we're now getting back on target where we need to be so we can do the annual updates. That's the way this government is supposed to work, and to have it not be so chaotic and behind the eight ball all the time.
Thank you for that. And it is important for the council, planning commissioners, and the citizenry to recognize that they have an opportunity in this annual amendment cycle to propose text or mapping changes.
Sure.
And so let's all remember that we're going to continue to work on this together.
Yeah, but it'll be a whole lot easier now.
Yeah, and I
learned
a lot.
Now that you've got this big job done, now it's just...
Yeah, I learned a lot in the process, especially about trying to do the finishing on a big document, which I've never had to do that before, actually. I usually write them, and someone else does that, but learned some valuable lessons about formatting and not losing important things when you're trying to clean up a document.
Yeah. Councilmember Deedy?
So, along with what Jane said, this is a long time coming. And excellent. Just on what Chris and Brian was stating, for the LID, so it's not in here, but it's still the city's policy to go with that. So in stating that it's not in the ordinance, if it's passed, then does that mean that future development within this time doesn't have to go with that, or because it is our policy and that's the way we go, it's still deemed that way?
Yeah, the LID is embedded into a lot of different ordinances, and from the state to public works. So we're still going to require LID. In fact, it is required by the state. We are remiss in not having a policy, and we need to get that back in.
Yeah, so I just wanted to clarify for everybody, you know, people listening, that it's still a policy that we follow, and it's still within ordinances and other issues that are other areas within the city. It's just not spelled out in this at this moment.
Right.
Customer Wisnowski.
I just want to say thank you very much, and an extra thank you for going through this step by step, chapter by chapter, with the committee. I think Melissa will say the same. It was a much needed help to kind of get through the different chapters and understand how they interrelate and that kind of thing. Thanks to the Planning Commission, all the citizen input. I think this is a huge milestone for us to get this much delayed through. And it is a living document. It is one of those things that we can and actually will, right? It's actually part of our process. Mm-hmm. We will amend it every year.
Right.
So I don't want people to think that, you know, this is it and we're stuck with it till 2035, right?
Right.
No, this is actually, you know, we're already, you know, like you said, we're already thinking about what amendments to make in the first
this
round
year.
Of amendments.
Yep. Right.
This year, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you very much, Barbara.
Thank you.
Councilmember Stout.
Thank you. In the work studies that we've had on this and the combined work studies that we've had with the Planning Commission, I've really appreciated the thoughtful attention to every single section. It's been fairly laborious, and some of this stuff is pretty difficult to understand, and it has so much technical, you know, bits and pieces and backgrounds and a lot of professional knowledge required by a lot of different people. So I've appreciated the ability to listen and get some kind of a grasp of what it's all about. And I'm assuming that the Planning Committee will continue to just review section by section by section and bring that back to council as each section needs to be tweaked?
Yes, and actually the way that the way that the annual amendment process works, the first quarter of every year, January through March, the citizens have an opportunity to make an application for a comprehensive plan amendment. If they see something that they think needs to be changed or a land use designation, that's their time to start that process. That rolls into the next step of it, which is to start forming a preliminary docket, amendment docket. Mm-hmm. And so that will be working with the Planning Committee. The Planning Commission is the one that has a hearing on that docket. It has to be approved by council, and then you actually start. So you end up with this every quarter, you're kind of rolling this along to where you have a final docket, then Planning Commission makes a recommendation to you, and then you make your revisions at the end of the year, typically. And you will see that, you know, like the TIP that you'll be working on, that needs to be part of the amendment. We need to look at this LID, missing LID policy. There are just quite a list. I think that we still had some great citizen comments and input that I just didn't have the time to take to Planning Committee and work through, and so we'll be doing that.
Well, once again, I appreciate that there's a finished document. We've mm-hmm. been behind the eight ball for too long, and this is a great document to just keep moving forward in the city. Thank you.
So I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance number 19-1121, adopting a new comprehensive plan for the years 2015 to 2035, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The next item is a resolution regarding the satellite fire station and land appraisal. Mr. Williamson.
Good evening, Mayor and council members. The fire station is moving forward. This should be one of those many steps that we take along the way. So let me go into a little background over the appraisal, and hopefully I think most of you have it in front of you. I see your big binders. If you'll turn to page 12, if there's an aerial view there, and it shows the parcel land, just so that everyone understands, you know, what we're looking at. It is the blue piece of property that we are looking at with this appraisal. So the appraisal affects that blue shaded area there. So beyond just this here, we also have, if you see, it says proposed BLA. That boundary line adjustment is in office and is being currently reviewed at Parametrics, our surveyors, for the next step, which will be the boundary line adjustment, which will form this property. So then at that point, the city council could do a purchase and sale agreement with the developer and accept that property. So there's a few more steps that we have to go, and then the property's on, and then we head down the next step with an architect and go through all those things. So in the development agreement, this process is laid out, and it says that we will have a certain qualification of an appraiser. So in the definitions in the development agreement, it said that we had to have a MBI, I believe. MAI. And what that is that is a member appraisal institute. So they are the longest established organization accredited for appraisers. So I want to set the background. So the appraiser and the company that we have those certificates, which are required in the development agreement. This appraisal and this company is very well known in municipalities and does a lot of work for cities, municipalities, and has done other appraisals. So they're a very credible, very prestigious. So we didn't feel that we needed to go out and do a secondary appraisal upon their appraisal that we felt came from one of the prestigious firms. So I want to remember everything that we do that adds cost to this ultimately comes back as a credit on the fire impact fees, right? So there was no need, and they followed the process of this. So we went through that analysis. We reviewed it. Me and Mr. Linehan went through the process. We had meetings with the mayor. We feel the evaluation is appropriate, and so now we're here in front of you. So today, all of you are, in theory, agreeing to, so we're just really clear, is yes, if the boundary line adjustment goes through, and yes, if the purchase and sale agreement and all that mechanism goes through, this is the price that we agree upon. Well, there's multiple steps to go. And David's here, and he's done legal review on this also. So we both have been working on this. So we're both here to answer any questions you might have.
Yeah, and just a little clarification. So once that boundary line adjustment does go through, assuming it does go through, the actual process of transferring that property, that newly created trapezoid or whatever it was on the map, that'll be dedicated. It won't be an actual purchase like the city would. It'd be a dedication from the developer, and that dedication would come back to the council as a property acquisition by dedication. So.
Council member Staff.
I found this fascinating reading. And as I went along, not being in this field at all, I found it pretty easy to understand. A few times I had a gasp moment like, what? And I had some questions, and I had my finger on the phone like, I'm calling Andy. Mm-hmm. And then I kept reading, and I got some other readers to read with me, and my questions were answered as I went along. You notice I didn't call you.
You didn't. That's okay.
Really, it's a fascinating process. And to look at the comparable properties in the area that were used as part of the valuation system was interesting. And just getting to the back, the parts that you would usually kind of, you know, like the credits at the end of the movie, like you don't watch that. But reading the qualifications of the appraiser and their company and who they have contracts with is pretty good information for you know, somebody who has really good qualifications to do this. So I appreciate this step happening, and I look forward to watching, you know, the first shovel turned over up there so that we can get moving forward toward having a new fire station.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Edelman.
Yeah, thank you. I'm real excited about this, as I'm sure everybody that lives up here on Lawson and probably Eagle Creek too, that or Morgan Creek, that we're going to have this happen. What are the chances that we will be able to break ground before the 250th unit?
So the process was is the dedication of the land and the process. The master plan developer has already put on contract an architect, which was an architect that was recommended to us by the fire department, by the fire chief, and has well known and nationally known to design fire stations. So we're not trying to get a home builder architect, we're actually getting an architect through that. So this meets the first trigger at the 250, and then the plans come through, and then there is a construction, I think, at the 750. I'm trying to get that off the top of my head, some rough numbers in there. So this is that first step of multiple processes.
But some things are running parallel as opposed to
Some things we are, this moves forward, we're already doing the boundary line adjustment, right? So when that then comes through, as that gets a process through, the next step will be having the fire chief and his team involved with the architects as we move through that process. And then when that comes in, the building official people will be reviewing the building plan. Meanwhile, the public works people will be doing all the civil infrastructures, and then they come back together. So you kind of break a few of these things apart to get back together, but it keeps the clock moving.
But it's moving.
You know, we know this is a concern. The mayor has made very clear to me what my priorities are on this, as some of the council members have also.
Yeah.
So we are moving this, you know, through the right process to get it done.
Good. Thank you.
Councilmember Deedy.
So it is exciting to hear that it's moving forward a little quick. So before it was looked at across the way up by the water tower, and that wasn't a good site. It wasn't feasible for fire trucks and a few other issues up there. So, and as Janie has stated, you know, people on this side of Black Diamond are looking forward to having a fire station that is operable. You know, the fire station on Baker Street is not. Response time will be quicker. There's a lot of logistics still, you know, once the property is, I guess, deeded to the city, and then they're still building, and it's still the whole staffing issue. I mean, it's still a little ways off, but it's exciting to finally get it moving, have something that hopefully the land will be a good fit for the fire station, and that Oak Point and the Black Diamond Fire Department 44 and the city are all working together to make the right choice in the fire department, the fire building for all citizens, and be efficient.
So
thank you.
Yeah, and so thank you, Tammy. So for one clarification, in the report it talks that it would be to fire district 40 or 40. It's not, it's clearly this property and these assets will become city of Black Diamonds.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In the, I didn't worry about trying to correct the report because we all understand your resolution says what we're going to. So so after this process, we'll do the boundary line adjustment, we'll do that. Then our process is hopefully, you know, to get the property clear and graded, and get it site prepped and continue to move forward with the architect, and just there is a trigger of mechanisms now that need to the houses will be on us faster than we know if we don't stay on this, and we are. We talk about this every week. We have conference. The chief's here tonight, and he is fully up to speed on this. I meet with him at least every 2 weeks on this as we go through the process. We met this week to have discussions about this. So it is in cooperation with the fire chief that we're moving through this process.
Yeah, and just to clarify, you know, the property and the building will be owned by the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the city is not in the fire business, so it helps to have, we contract with District 44, helps to have their input on, you know, fire-related items, as you know, obviously to help us be sure that we're building the most efficient fire station.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
As a council member that lives on this side of 169, I am very happy to see this moving forward. And having been on the ad hoc committee with the chief and working through this and new truck and all that kind of stuff, it's great to see it moving forward. Good job. Thank you very much.
It's a long dream come true for a lot of citizens in this. You know, I was proud to have served on the fire department. Started in 1983 on the fire department here, so this has been a long. We can go back. I can't even tell you how many reports me and the chief laugh about that says we need a new fire station. Well, it's coming. It is absolutely. We are moving down through that process. So thank you for your support.
So I make a motion to adopt resolution number 19-1299, authorizing the mayor to approve the selected fire station site and appraisal of the property owned by Oak Point LLC, CCD, Black Diamond Partners, LLC, required by the development agreement, no later than the certified occupancy of the 250th dwelling unit.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thanks, Mayor. Thank you, Councilor.
So it's now time for department reports. Does anybody have a department report? Chief Smith?
Good evening, Council, Mayor, Greg Smith, Fire Chief, Black Diamond Fire Department, and Mountain View Fire Department.
Mountain
View. Fire District changed our name, legally changed our name to Mountain View Fire, because it used to say King County Fire District 44, and everybody thought we were part of King County government, and that's the last thing we wanted, so we changed that to the Mountain View Fire and Rescue, and, that's true. So, I love you. Remember that phone is there when I leave. Okay. So let's start with, you saw the letter that I, or the article from the paper in 1959 that I gave you. And you know, I've had that article for probably 4 or 5 years, and I was never able to locate it, and I found it the other day, so I think it's interesting reading. There's some, and if you look and see, there was actually more businesses in Black Diamond in 1959 than there are today.
Wow.
So, and Gomer Evans was 31, and he was handsome.
Or so he says.
He still is.
But he's 90 what?
Yes. Yeah.
92.
He's a little older than that. So, the second thing was is the, we talked a little bit about today at the public safety meeting was the fire danger in the state of Washington this year for wildland firefighters. So the other pages aren't colored, but the front cover is because I thought that's the most important part for you to see. And if you look at the state of Washington, you'll see May through, what is this? I got to put the glass on. This is really small stuff. I think it's May through July. And you can see that Western Washington has a higher fire danger for wildland fires than Eastern Washington does. They don't catch up with us till about midsummer, and then it's just northeastern Washington. On top of this, our fire season in Western Washington starts in August. So typically, that's when things really dry out, and so we are going to probably have a bad fire season for wildland firefighters. We had there were 45 brush fires on the west side of Washington. In March, there was about 6 apartment buildings that burned down, and just up here on the west side, and we sent a brush truck down to Pierce County on state mobilization. None of that's ever happened this time of year. So what are we doing to prepare for that? We have a 20 person hand team made up of volunteers, and they're not volunteer firefighters. They're volunteer wildland firefighters. They don't do structure. They just do wildland. So we do that. We have between Black Diamond and Mountain View, we have 4 brush trucks, and even everybody in King County is taking this very serious this year. So in a couple of days, we'll be meeting at the King County EOC fire departments to be talking about the wildfire season this year in King County. So that's on your radar there. And I have the report there for it's April 5th through May 1st. Yeah. So this kind of catches us up. I didn't give you the numbers at the last meeting. So there's a total of 45 incidents. 34 of those were EMS. There were 3 fires and 0 fire loss. So now that'll change a little bit because we had a fire over the corner here.
By the cemetery.
Yeah, by the cemetery. So, and I don't have the numbers on that yet, but we'll talk about that at the next council meeting. Let's see. Oh, we can do, our crews continue to do blood pressure checks over at the senior center. We do that down at the elder center down in the Muckshoot Reservation too.
Okay.
So the guys like doing that. It's a good way for them to stay in touch with people and talk to them. And, you know, because most of the time they're checking their blood pressure, but you know they also like to talk about all their other health problems. So a lot of times they say, you know, I probably should go see a doctor about that. So it's a good way for us to reach out and touch some people and make sure that they're seeing how their health is too. Engine 98 was at the Easter egg hunt at Oak, or over at the Oak Point, 10 Trails. They haven't changed the name again yet, have they? met with M. Dirt and planning this week and attended the Black Diamond Public Safety meeting this afternoon. There's 70 new homes going in behind Station 98, which is in the district. That is called Reserve at Covington, and that has been planned. They changed that to urban density over there, and that's actually been planned for quite a while. So they're getting ready to build those. In fact, Lenore Holmes is building those. So we're trying to get voluntary impact fees, just like we got from the rest of the homes over there when they were built. So that's how we did the additions and remodel at Station 98, but we're not done, so that'll be good for us to help get that done. And we need to get that station annexed into the city limits so we can get a sewer. And Barb's going to make that happen.
Right.
Let's see. What else today? Oh, I think that's about it. Unless anyone has any questions. I haven't built a new fire station for 7 years, so we're ready to start another one. So it's a huge process. Building a fire station is probably the price per square foot of a fire station is pretty expensive. And I'm going to do some research and see what the current level in this area is for building fire stations, just so we have some kind of idea.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, I just want to say thank you as someone along with the mayor and Councilmember Deedy that go to the community center and feed the seniors twice a week as much as we can. They look forward to the firefighters coming in. More than once, ambulances have been called to take them to, seriously,
yeah.
taking
yes.
them to the hospital because, you know, these are folks that suffer from high blood pressure or other heart ailments or a diabetic, whatever. And so it's a great service that you're providing to our citizens.
Yeah, well, thank you. And like I said, the firefighters enjoy that, too.
Those folks, they give the firefighters such a hard time, and, you know, especially Cheryl.
They like that,
and they like it, yeah. And it's
they
fun.
Give each other a hard time.
But, you know, it personalizes it for these folks so that, and we've had the fire department at our house.
Yeah.
They've done a great job when you are in a moment of panic as a family trying to deal with whatever's going on. And knowing maybe that firefighter that shows up, it just changes the dynamic, I think, a lot.
Yeah.
So
well, thank you.
Thanks.
I appreciate those words. I'll pass those on.
Please do.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we actually have a police report. So could you pass these out, and would you give one to the attorney Linehan? Just pass these down. You get to keep one.
I get to keep one for
Brenda. So
you're hired.
We have a new hire in the police department that starts on May 28th, Kamal Sharif, and he has an extensive background in police work. The last 5 years he's been security for University of Washington. And we're looking forward to him starting. He's taking what vacation that he has with the University of Washington and before he comes to work here. So, and then we're going to have another active shooter class probably in September. And our Marine Patrol will probably start around the end of this month, probably for Memorial Day. And it may start earlier just because we have a lot of warm weather predicted, so it could start earlier. So they're looking forward to that. So I'm sorry the police chief had to leave. She actually had to work. So she was going to try to get back, but obviously that didn't happen. So last night I attended the active shooter class that was run by Commander Larry Colagiovanni, and he did an outstanding job. It was a two-hour class, and usually the police chief's here too, and Sergeant Lynch was here, but the police chief was ill yesterday, so she didn't come and participate. But it was a really good class, and the one that they're going to do in September is going to try to draw in other communities like Enumclaw and, you know, reach out to other communities that people want to go see what happens. You know, just educate yourself so that you're not the sheep and you decide that you're not going to be killed if something happens. So it's a really good message that everybody should be exposed to. So I would suggest that you all try to attend next time we have one. So Councilmember Oglesby.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, I attended
active shooter.
Thank you, the active shooter last night also, and it was very eye-opening. I encourage all the citizens and business owners, any kind of, if you work in a group, you know, a store or whatnot, to attend this. It was a very eye-opening experience. I was able to share a few of my learning experience with customers today as I worked. But if you don't get anything out of this, if you get anything out of this, the best thing that they said is just to be aware, you know, be aware of your environments. Every time you go into a store, shopping, your businesses, your work environment, know where your exits are. It was just, it was 2 hours. It didn't seem that long. It kept my attention. But it's something I think everybody can benefit from at all ages and any type of environment that you walk into. It could just be the grocery store. It could be anything you guys go. So day to day, just being aware, and I highly I would want the citizens to go to the next one. It was a good presentation. I did not attend the safety meeting today. Did have to work. Were you able to make it? Yeah, perfect. Chris was able to attend in my absence, so thank you, Chris. I don't have any other reports besides just getting out there and getting yourself involved in the community. I know I always preach that, but as our city grows, you know, so does the need of volunteers throughout our community. I keep on preaching that because that's something I always did, and I really enjoyed it. The museum, everywhere can use volunteers, and just support your local businesses. I mean, we, city, you know, survive off the local businesses and providing and using the services, so support local business.
Councilmember Edelman.
Well, I went to the active shooter class last night, too. I actually took last week off and went on vacation. So, but this was the second time I went to the active shooter class. And I think one of the important things about this is not just how we react, especially because we sit up here in the dais. And, you know, honestly, we are sitting ducks if somebody comes in that door. They actually have video of real life experiences with a man who came into a school board meeting, I think it was in California, and it potentially could have been a really serious situation because he was waving the gun. He shot the gun, but he missed because he was a lousy shot. But and then the whole thing about don't be a sheep. You need to figure out what your escape route is going to be. There was another video in a Walmart that they showed to all Walmart employees where a guy comes in, he goes down an aisle, he opens the bag, there's a stock clerk that sees him, and so he takes off and runs, which is the right thing to do, and runs into the warehouse, and people got out. I'd be screaming gun if it was me. You know, things like this are happening here. There was an episode at Fred Meyer a week or so ago, and I don't remember now exactly. It wasn't a gun, but it was some other set of circumstances. So I do this everywhere I go.
Purse snatching.
Yeah. The fact that that door says emergency exit only, if there's something going on in this room that's making everybody uncomfortable, whether it's a gun or a knife or just a person who's off their meds, that seat right there, but you go out that door. You know, you don't run necessarily to what the problem is. Save yourself first. And that was one of the big things that Larry was talking about last night, is save yourself first. So it was a great class. I do encourage everybody to take it. That's all.
Councilmember Stout.
Thank you. I attended the Finance Committee meeting last week, and we once again had a Tahoma High School student attend with us and with his mom, and he had some pretty good questions to ask us. Well, actually, his mom asked the questions, but he was nodding and smiling as he went along. But it's good to see these young people. I know it's an assignment from school, but they are taking an interest and they're attending a meeting. And I think it can be a little intimidating walking into a building that you're not familiar with and sitting down with people that you don't know, you know, really for sure what's going to happen. So we really appreciate having the students come to our committee meetings. And for any of you here in the room or people who are listening to this meeting, I just would like to extend an invitation. We do have committee meetings. They're posted on the city calendar. Residents are welcome to come. You're not, you can't really chip into the meeting. You can't really make a public comment, but you're certainly welcome at the meeting. And we have a lot that goes on there, and they're pretty informational meetings. I'm sorry I remember that young man's name.
I don't either.
I shouldn't say. I think I know what it was, but I shouldn't say because I don't know for sure. But it was good to have him with us. I did not attend the active shooter class. It was outside of my schedule. I couldn't attend, but my husband did attend. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry that we have to do this. You know, I'm sorry that it's come to this in our society, that we have to think ahead. Our family has been a victim of a home invasion with a gun, which was a pretty traumatic thing that changed our family's lives forever, that happened in 1992 in Spanaway. And so we're familiar of being approached by a person with a gun in our home. And actually, that my husband handled that situation very well, and nobody got hurt, and somebody went to prison for a while, not long enough. But, you know, they do this in schools, they do this in business, at age-appropriate levels to prepare our community for people who are out of control in the community. And all of us have a part to play in keeping our society safe. And, you know, I think being alert and aware, as the instructions were given yesterday, is a really important thing to take into account. Just don't be meandering around, not paying attention to what's going on in your environment. So that's the message I know that was given yesterday with a lot more details. I would like to say that out in the community, there's been some discussion from new residents of Ten Trails who have said that they do not feel welcome in our community. And that is very sad. Regardless of what you think about, you know, too many houses being built here or too many trees being taken down or, you know, whatever it is that is your complaint about this development and growth that's happening in Black Diamond, we know for a fact that it is going to happen. It is happening. And people are coming here and living in this beautiful community where many of us have lived for a very long time, raised our families, and enjoyed. And how very sad that people would feel any amount of hostility in this community. So I appeal to all of us to reach out in any manner of welcome that we can to any of those individuals that we run into, and just let it be known that, you know, you're welcome in Black Diamond, and we want you to come and enjoy the beauty of this community that we have enjoyed as we've been here. So that's my little plea there. And just as one last personal note, I spent quite a lot of time at Swedish Hospital the last week and a half. Unfortunately, my brother died last Wednesday. And he had a stroke, and then he had a stroke on top of a stroke, which did not allow him to survive. All over those units at the neurointensive care and a step-down intensive care are these really beautiful signs that say, be stroke aware, know the signs of a stroke, and there's a list of like five things. And I said to my sister, let's rip all those signs down, and let's take them to McDonald's, and Fred Meyer and the library and put them on the bus. And maybe they are in some of those places, but by the time you're in neurointensive care, oops, too late. And my brother actually did have stroke symptoms that he did not get treated for a couple of days. And so, you know, he had the kind of stroke that could have been treated if it had been noticed earlier. And so this is a great loss to our family, but, you know, there's a silver lining to every cloud, and we're, you know, pressing forward. And part of my resolution is to, as a family member who's lost a brother to a stroke, and as a nurse, I want to share that message with as many people as I can. So that's my little personal plea for tonight. Thank you. Thank
you. Councilmember Wisnowski.
Let's see. I was ill and was not able to attend the last council meeting. But since then, I attended the Public Safety Committee meeting this afternoon. Since Melissa was not able to attend, that was a good meeting. I attended the Easter egg hunt out at Ten Trails. That was a really great event. You had great participation. Lots of people showed up. So kids had a blast. I got some great pictures of some of our finest enjoying a donut that I sent to Chief Kimlinger. So Officer Hershaw was... I have to admit, I love Legendary Donuts donuts, right? So I totally agree with the guy, but it was a great picture. And he was just in a great attitude to have his picture taken and that kind of stuff, right? So it was pretty funny. To add to what Aaron said about the comments about people not feeling welcome, that's disappointing, right? I mean, there's no reason why we should not make these people feel welcome. I go to the playground there pretty often. My wife seems like she's there every day. And we're always meeting new people, right? And we always welcome them to Black Diamond. It's a great city to live in. I mean, I moved here 5 years ago to raise my kids here, right? We shouldn't have any of that. Just because you don't agree with how it happened or when it happened or who it happened with or what, these are people that have trying to make a home here, right? We should make sure that we make them welcome. I was not able to attend the active shooter because I was stuck in traffic on 405 last night. I have attended that class in the past from a couple different organizations that put it out, and it is a great class for people to go to and kind of understand the thinking that you need to be about. It's kind of that ever vigilant thing, right? You kind of it's almost kind of like the old East Coast, you know, when you walk into a restaurant, you kind of make sure you put your back in a corner, you know where the doors are, right? And there was other reasons for that. It was usually mob shootings, but, you know, it was growing up where it happened in New York that did happen. So, it is a really good class for people to get to understand the thinking of, you know, not just kind of walking around in a cloud and actually when you walk into a room or a location to kind of understand where your outs are and observe people, right? I love people watching, but it takes that to a next level and you can kind of understand that, oh yeah, that guy looks a little odd today and talking to himself or, you know, body language is a big thing, right? So, and then how to not only you know, figure out when you have to flee or defend or attack, but figure out what you're able to do, because a lot of people don't behave as they think they may in situations like that. A lot of people freeze up. A lot of people just freak out. So you may have to not only take care of yourself, but the others around you as well. So I highly recommend that if you have the opportunity to take the class, when it comes up again in September, please do. And I will say once again, I'm really happy to see us moving forward with the firehouse on this side of 169. It's a great milestone to make, as well as getting that the planning document finalized. It's a good thing to finally get something like that. It will help us with the process going forward, and it is a living document, so we will be amending it yearly. It's not something that's going to sit on a shelf like the last one has. So I think that's it.
Councilmember Deedy.
Well, the good thing about being last is that everybody covers everything, so So I was at the finance, I was at a safety meeting today. We also hired a new court clerk, so along with a new police officer. I did attend the active shooter class. High school students, if you're able to attend that, parents say yes, you know, or however you get there. It's a really good class. It wasn't all doom and gloom. I mean, it was very informative, teach you how to, you know, protect yourself, how to get out, what to do, you know, on doors. I mean, it has so much good information. Larry was excellent at teaching it. It is highly recommended for everybody to attend, whether you think, oh, you know what you're going to do. I would just say attend, you know, 2 hours out of your time to meet your police officers, get to know what to do in a situation. Most shootings, even though you only pretty much hear about schools, is not in a school setting. It's in Safeway, Fred Meyer, Walmart, wherever, your business, places like that. So just, you know, like everybody said, just be aware. And then for the 10 trails people, I did see a little bit of blurb on the Facebook. I think that's a shame, you know, that they feel that way. I think, you know, once we get our welcoming packets out, once we start walking around as council members and starting to introduce ourselves, I think they'll understand, you know, that they're welcome here. Like Wisnowski said, it doesn't matter how 10 Trails or any development or any home got built here. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's part of the community. And everybody's, you know, welcome here in Black Diamond. And I'm trying my darndest to figure out how to get all of those people from 10 Trails to cross the bridge and start, you know, shopping over here. And
we can do that very soon.
Right, on this side. And realizing, you know, don't just, you know, go through Lake Slurry to go to Safeway or whatever. You know, stop in here, see the bakery, see the antique store, see all the stuff that's offered over here. So I did, Chief Smith handed this paper. I read it a little bit quickly. There's one part in here where it says Gertrude Botts is 40, has six children ranging in the age of 3 to 16, and makes no bones of the fact that she seriously believes every town council should include at least one woman. I think she would be very proud of that. This council and mayor are taking over. Sorry, Chris. And then there's another part. There's another part that says the fifth member of the new council is Gomer Evans Jr., 31, already. He is being referred to by other members of the council as the baby, a construction worker. He is married and handsome and the father of two children. So, I mean, Gomer, we all love Gomer. I saw Gomer today. He asked me, you know, what I was doing, and I said, you know, I was headed to the safety meeting. He asked, well, is there food, donuts, what's up there? I said, no, Gomer, there's no food. He's like, well, okay, then I'm not coming. So I'm sure that this will be included on the website with what was handed out today. So if you do get a chance to read that, it's pretty it's pretty funny, but it's got some neat historical facts in here worth reading. So give it a shot when you look at the city website. That's all.
So do we have an attorney report?
Not tonight, Mayor.
So this is time for second public comments. If you wish to address council, please step up to the podium and state your name and city of residence, and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council?
Mayor, can I say something?
Chief Smith, go ahead.
Okay. I'll even step up to
we have to get your recording.
So people see me. Kind of hard to see.
So, tonight you were talking about active shooter and situational awareness. That's the same thing we preach to people. Every time you go, if you go to the movie, go to a restaurant, go to a building you've never been before, look around and see where all your exits are. Because if an active shooter, anything happens or a fire, You need to know where you're closest. Most people, they want to go out the same door they came in. So that's going to save you, because everybody else is going to be heading for the front door, and you're going to sneak out the side door because everybody else forgot about it. Number two is what you were talking about. It's called, one thing's called FAST. Face. F is face. Ask the person to smile. Is there you know, is one side up and one side down? A is arms. Ask them to raise their arms, and one won't go up, or goes up and then comes down. And the other is speech. Ask that person to give them a little phrase, ask them to repeat it, and see if they can do that. And if they can't do those three things, T is time. That means call 911. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. I believe we have an executive session tonight. I'm not sure what the RCW
is. It'll be pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1I, litigation, to which the city is a party. And I would think that we actually have two matters to discuss, so let's say 20 minutes.
Okay.
Is there action to follow?
There's no action to follow.
So people can...
Exit the room, and we'll...
Do the students have any questions they want to ask?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I do have one.
Why don't you come to the microphone and give us your name and where you're from.
Emily Walker. I'm from Black Diamond, but I go to Tahoma. I'm off of 288. I was just wondering, what is LID?
Low Impact Development.
Oh, okay. That's pretty much it. Thank you.
I think it was mentioned once, but then we went off on the LID and didn't talk about it again.
Well, and we have a tendency to talk in acronyms a lot, too. Yeah. So,
and thank you for coming and send your friends.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, David.
Yes, you guys are moving. We're staying.
No, Bob, you're not leaving. You're just going in the hallway.
We'll give you a ride, okay?
Yeah, he's got the car.
Okay,
so you stop everything, and then you have to go out also. And then...
adjourned.
I call this meeting back to order. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
There you go.